Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I ask of you, what is the Hulk? What have you become? With these hands I build, with other hands I break. I break to build anew. Have you my strength? Have you an arm like mine? Would you build or break? You are my creation. I made you the counterweight. To ask of you, are you Gebura or Gulashab? And what of Chesed? What of Mercy? What will you become? For the left hand is strength, but the right hand is mercy. Prepare to enter through the green door. All right, welcome listeners. I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meets and Meets presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
Yes, so we are doing one of my favorite comics, I think also one of yours as well. I remember just reading it after we did our Venom in-depth character study, and I was just completely blown away. So we're going to do character analysis, one of our favorite types of episodes of The Immortal Hulk. But before we just even dive deeper into that, we always hit you with legal spiegel.
Yes, so the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by the respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
Yes, so if you're listening, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you're using, just hit the like button, give us the 5 stars, subscribe, just tell people word of mouth. We really just want to keep growing, keep expanding the city until we become Blurred State and Blurred Nation. So
yes, sir.
The takeover is imminent. So we're going to get into what's hot.
All right. So for the what's hot, the anime scene kind of going nuts right now. At the time that you're hearing this episode, I had just finished watching One Piece Red, which dropped. All I gotta say is that soundtrack, though.
Oh, yes.
That's all I gotta say right now, but without spoiling anything. But with that, we also got Bleach that's finally going ape and going crazy right now. Spy Family delivering the wholesomeness that I need to balance out the insanity of everything else.
Palate cleanser, if you will.
Yep, because Mob Psycho going crazy. My Hero going nuts. Going stupid right now.
Chainsaw Man.
Chainsaw Man is kind of is losing it right now. And by losing it, I mean that in the best way possible, because this man going dummy. Blue Lock. Lock in, brothers and sisters. Lock in. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got on the anime scene. But now let's get into the little bit of the horror scene right now, because they released the Halloween's End novelization. Mm-hmm. And just from the first chapter alone, miles ahead better than the movie. I'm saying that right now, and that's all I've read so far. So if that's anything to go off of, hopefully this will be the movie that all of our fans, they've been trying to hit the whole the petition to redo the movie, make it based off this novelization, because good heavens. Mm-hmm. That first chapter alone. But yeah, Andor is popping off once again. and then in the comic scene, you know, we got Venom that's continually to go crazy. The Thor crossover with Venom just ended. So, oh boy, spoilers in that story for what's happening in Venom. And then also the new Amazing Spider-Man crossover is going to be dropping fairly soon, entitled Dark Web.
Ooh, so, I heard about that one.
Yeah, so get the Spider-Man, X-Men, and Venom all crossing over together to create absolute insanity with the boys. Of course, hey, hit you up with Vanish, and then finally Black Panther 2 dropping the week that you're listening to this episode. So yeah.
Should be actually the next day.
So, yep. Yeah. Yep. So prepare your hearts for that.
But so you absolutely hit every anime one, because anime last week, the week like that we are recording, went absolutely bananas. Like, it was like back to back. I was just like stunned Monday after Bleach, because I had to recover from My Hero, and then Chainsaw Man went insane, and then Mob was just like Mob was hilarious, but at the same time it was very emotional. So yeah, just a lot in the scene to go after. So you touched on that. Since we're in the comic space, I also had some Batman and Joker. They just dropped this new comic called The World's Deadliest Duo, which is really interesting. So it's them essentially teaming up to work together against kind of, I don't know what it is yet, since it was just the first novel, but they're trying to find Harley Quinn, and Bruce is trying to save Commissioner Gordon. So,
oh boy.
So it definitely was good in that first one that I read. And then as of the time that you're listening to this podcast, God of War Ragnarok will have just dropped. So I'm going to save it. I'm going to save buying it until my birthday, because I'm still trying to finish Arkham Knights. But it's only like, by the time it comes, it's going to be like a week or two. Now that we just covered everything in the What's Hot, we are going to start talking about the Immortal Hulk. So what was your feeling the first time you read this?
Oh man, bruh. It was incredible. See, I read this story when it dropped. So like in 2018, mm-hmm. the same time Donny Cates' Venom was dropping. So I kept getting hit with back-to-back bangers, mm-hmm. and my mind could not deal. But this story of Immortal Hulk is so far different than any Hulk story. So much so, like, this is actually probably the first ever run of Hulk that I read to completion. Mm. I've never read a Hulk story before then. I just generally, you know, like, got through the, you know, the Wikipedia, or seen, like, all the adaptations of it, like Planet Hulk movie and whatnot.
Right.
So I had a general idea of, like, what the Hulk was doing, or, like, where he was at. And especially in Civil War II and what happened with him and that. the disrespect.
Which we have to lightly touch on to get into this one.
Yes, but upon reading that first issue of Immortal Hulk, I was like, oh, this is new. Oh, I need this now. So mm-hmm. so yeah, I was super pumped for it, and I really loved it.
Nice. Yeah, when I did it, because it was directly after when we were doing our Venom character study, like I said. And I literally was like, huh, I keep hearing Immortal Hulk is really one of the best comics of all time, or it's like one of the best Hulk stories of all time. And I was like, okay, let me check it out. And just like the way it went different places, I just really was like with it completely, the different arcs, the characters that we'll get into later. And I did not know it was a 3-year run, but just even having, I love having like a long set of volumes and issues to go through, because it's like you're actually with the entire story and you're growing with them. So like this one, I was with you. I didn't read Planet Hulk, and beforehand I just saw the movie for it, the animated version. And then for World War Hulk, I read it like maybe a few weeks ago, and it's really brief compared to the Immortal Hulk. So yeah, this is definitely something that I'm excited to get into. So just to kind of start it off, we kind of have to give context. So if you want to touch on the Civil War II aspect of it.
All right. So at this point in Marvel Comics, because of the fact that the MCU was doing Captain America Civil War, they had to capitalize on it by doing another Civil War event. And within this event, at this point in time, Bruce Banner was no longer the Hulk. He had actually purged himself of it, and he was just human. However, in the Civil War event, he was killed because of the fact that, like, there was a vision that said that Hulk was going to destroy everything, and the heroes decided to preemptively strike, and Bruce was tragically killed because of it. So, at this point, Bruce Banner was dead. And then after that, there was a comic event known as Avengers No Surrender, mm-hmm. where in which the Hulk was revived by the antagonist of that storyline, and Hulk just started wilding out. And that is basically how Hulk was revived, but in his resurrection, things changed. And that's where we get into Immortal Hulk.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to go into a brief recap. There's no possible way in one episode we can tell the entire Immortal Hulk story. Just like the in-depthness of it, but just like even an overview. So later we're going to go into a brief overview. We definitely recommend that you go read it yourself. But in it, we have Bruce Banner and multiple Hulks. So there are also other gamma beings in this story that we're going to touch on, and just the importance of how they interplay with the Hulk. But just going into that, for his death, Hawkeye shot him through the head because he asked him to do it if he saw him with green eyes, but he didn't. So it was a messy situation that Immortal Hulk definitely had to press him about later.
yeah, it's unforgivable. But yeah, so moving on, like, we really do have to touch upon the character of Bruce Banner.
Yep.
And as he mentioned, the topic of multiple Hulk. Because essentially, like, Hulk is the textbook example of trauma and repressed feelings manifesting into separate personalities. Mm-hmm. You think Moon Knight was bad? No, Hulk was first. Bruh. He's the first one to have that type of distinction. So let's get into the one. So,
okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So the first one I actually just want to touch upon is the OG, you know, the original, the Savage Hulk. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the one that you all think of, the Green Hulk, you know, the one that's pretty much, you know, gets stronger the madder he gets, and he's potentially the most powerful one. But he has like a childlike mentality because he represents Bruce's childhood. Mm-hmm. And represents like all the anger he had as a child, especially against his op daddy and and just everybody else.
Bro, I remember the 2003 Hulk movie, and like it's very vague to me, kind of, but I didn't know like his mom had like an issue with his dad. But like when I read the comic, I didn't recall that his dad was that much of an op to him.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was bananas. Just like, so his dad even led to the creation his dad essentially led to the creation of all his Hulks, but more importantly, and this led to it, the Immortal Hulk, or as it was also called in this, the Devil Hulk. So this Hulk is, it kind of goes back to the roots of the original Bruce Banner, where it's the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde effect of he only comes out at night. So this Hulk only literally comes out at night, and he's like really intelligent, very intuitive. He can like speak in full sentences, just smart, and he like seems to always have a plan. And with this, like the Hulk, a lot of regeneration. We'll kind of talk about how the Hulk, he's not invincible, but he is like strong, you know, like in the, I say the movies, like he can get beat, but like in this one, he's like really, really strong, but he does take L's from time to time.
Small amount of L's, but yes. But yeah, like in going into that one, let's get into the last Hulk. It's actually Joe Fixit, aka the Great Hulk.
My favorite Hulk, yeah.
So, thing about him is that he's actually the Hulk that you see in the original Hulk comics, because in the original comics, he was gray, and it was only over time due to, like, printing issues that they turned him green. And they actually turned that into a whole story arc wherein which you get the Great Hulk. And with him, he's basically the most clever of the Hulks, and he's not as strong as the other Hulks, but as that his mind kind of makes up for it. He's like very witty. He's kind of crass. He's very rough and tough because he was essentially a gangster in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And also, he was the original Hulk to where he could only come out at night. He was the original one.
Which gets touched on, yeah.
Yeah, before the Devil Hulk actually does it. And another thing about him is that he represents like what Bruce thought like an actual adult was as a child. So he created that personality in order to essentially like, hey, this is what a real adult should be, and this is how you defend yourself, you know, from watching TV and whatnot, you know, kind of like how WandaVision did it, but that's it. Hulk did it better.
Yes. So to touch on it, this is going to segue into our recap of the story, but how the Hulks are created, as me to mention, so that one is created from, Great Hulk is created from him watching TV, getting an idea of what a man is. Then the big guy, Savage Hulk, or Kid Hulk in some cases, he was kind of just Bruce's childlike holding it in. And then the Immortal Hulk is kind of birthed from just like his repressed emotions, the rage he felt towards his dad, and also like wanting to have a dad figure in a sense, as we see later in the story. So a lot of this was just like him feeling isolated, especially after his dad killed his mom. And then his dad hated him his entire life, basically. So he called him a monster, a devil. He was like, Bruce, you're way too smart to like be a normal child. So got to get rid of you. So, and then later on, this is how we segue into like the actual Immortal Hulk storyline. We do see that Bruce ended up killing his dad.
Yeah. So in a prelude, essentially what happened was that Bruce's dad, Brian Banner, he ended up murdering his wife, aka Bruce's mother, just because he was going through one of his episodes.
Yes.
And then years later, and this is where it's kind of messed up. At the grave of the mother, Bruce and Brian like meet after years apart. You know, like Bruce is an adult at this point. He hadn't become Hulk yet, but like it was actually right before he became Hulk. So that kind of lets you know what his mentality was. So they ended up scrapping, getting into fight because dad's always on op behavior, and Bruce cracked his skull against the tombstone, killing Brian instantly. So pretty messed up, pretty dark, but it kind of provided a little bit of catharsis for Bruce, but that trauma kind of stayed with him all the way through to modern day. So
yeah,
to where even in the newest run they're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but now that we've gotten into basically why Bruce is such a damaged figure and a damaged person, let's get into that brief recap.
Yeah, so it's time for us to step through the green door. And when I was reading this, so Immortal Hulk is a 50-volume run. Well, original. There are some side stories that you can kind of catch up that I'm actually going to do that on my own time. So we're just going to stay with the brief run, and anything that Meech has to add in for context, he can do that. But I broke it up essentially into three stanzas. That's kind of how I read it. So the first one is the Resurrection and Shadow Base arc, in my opinion. The second one is Worldbreaker Hulk / Rakshan and the Minotaur. And then the last one is the Leader, One Below All. So starting with our Resurrection arc, essentially we do see Bruce just in, I believe, Arizona, middle of nowhere, and he gets shot by this dude that is robbing a store. So then he's dead, like completely dead. So then he resurrects at nighttime, and the Immortal Hulk is not having any of that. And Hulk absolutely bodied everybody in the place and broke the kids, like almost all his bones. And so going into there, now we start seeing sightings of Hulk. And what I really appreciate about this story, which I didn't think I would initially, is Jackie McGee, the reporter. So she's a reporter from Arizona, just like newspaper, and she's like wants the story of the Hulk. She's one of the first people on it. So she's following just the sightings. She wants to find Bruce. She's just talking to people in his past. And we do see early on that when she was a kid, Bruce, well, the Hulk, he ended up destroying her entire town and destroyed her house. And then her dad ended up dying because of the stress of just trying to take care of everybody, take care of everything, and just like losing all of that. So she's really traumatized by the Hulk. And this story is personal to her.
Oh, yes. Jack McGee is an amazing character, especially since like she was actually originally a TV creation from the original Hulk series with Lou Ferrigno.
Wow.
And was actually a white guy in that show. And to see it basically translate into a black female, I'm like, yes, more representation, baby. But yeah, like moving on, essentially in that story, essentially, you see like many different adventures of the Hulk, and just based on how you see like the different ways he dies against the antagonist, and then just resurrects and just bodies everything.
Yes.
And it causes the question like, dang, this Hulk is like a lot more brutal and a lot more malicious than any of the previous Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes the question like, what is this dude? What is his deal? And of course, over the course of the story, you know, there's one adventure where he fights all of the Avengers, and that's where he gets his name of Devil Hulk.
Yep.
Because Thor just got ultimately bodied, and it was kind of wild.
Didn't he break his jaw?
No. He cracked his skull so hard he got a concussion.
Lord have mercy.
He got a concussion, and that's where he called him, this must be the devil. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's Shadow Base, where essentially it's just another rogue military operation, similar to how Thunderbolt Ross was back in the day. And he was held by General Fortian, and how mm-hmm. he wanted to, you know, capture the Hulk, you know, kill him, slash recreate him, get multiple powers and all that hoopla.
Yeah.
But in the back of all this is the story of, like, basically the one below all, and like its machinations for Hulk, and how every single gamma related being started seeing this green door and started coming back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start getting like multiple characters who were dead coming back to life.
Yes. So with that, touching into the first arc, essentially Hulk returns and Shadow Base General Fortian, who is essentially a disciple of Thunderbolt Ross. He really respects him. And turns out Thunderbolt Ross like dies in the storyline. From the main comic run, I didn't see it. I don't know if there's like a side that explains it.
Yes, he actually was killed in a Captain America comic where... I didn't know like what the details of it was. I think he was like killed by some Nazi organization to frame Cap. So yeah.
Okay.
R.I.P.
So we see that Ross is gone in this storyline, and he doesn't actually resurrect, which was interesting. For just going from there to kind of cover into it, we do see that the Avengers are like, no, you cannot run free. So they gang up on him in Iowa as he's just kind of minding his business, and a fight ensues, and he's like really handling his own, of course. And like Meech mentioned, this isn't the blind rage Hulk. This is a focused violence, which is scarier than all of that. So in that, when he's actually absolutely beating all the Avengers, and he like knocks Jen like miles away, but this is after he like says that, oh, you're actually a Hulk too. You understand what I'm going through. And it kind of like breaks her mentally, because she recovered. Once she woke up from a coma, I believe, and then found out that Bruce was dead. So like a lot of that is this like trauma that she's going through. But essentially they hit him with the power of the sun and destroy the entire town, like eviscerates him. This is what I mean by like he's not invincible, because they turn him into like bones. Yeah. Charred bones.
Because essentially, as they like, the daytime is his weakness, so the sun is one of his weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. And one of the craziest scenes that I remember seeing before I actually like read the storyline was when they're in Shadow Base. So since the Hulk can regenerate, they split him up into multiple pieces. And I don't mean like they keep an entire arm over here, an entire leg over here. I mean, they cut his head off. They take out his organs. They put one hand in one jar. They put another hand in a different jar. They put like his feet in different jars. Like, it's incredible. Like, he's split up, but he's still conscious the entire time. And so like this one scientist is just talking trash to him. But he doesn't notice that Hulk is like with one of his fingers knocking over the jar that it's in, and everything falls apart and he recombines, but the scientist gets swallowed. So it's kind of like an old man Logan.
Oh, nah. This was worse than that, because this is not a way for a man to go out. Like, I would not wish that on anybody. Basically, you got absorbed into the Hulk, and his whole arm was sticking out of the Hulk's chest, and Hulk was just looking down like, eh, just another body part.
Yeah, what I really enjoyed the second time for my reread was, like, that I knew that you probably appreciate it, was there was a very Lovecraftian feel to this Immortal Hulk.
You show right. I mean,
especially when we get into the second arc.
Yeah, you got, like, an unknowable entity known as the One Below All. There's also the fact that, again, the Hulk is killed in, like, gruesome fashions, and then revived in also horrific fashion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just none but Lovecraft in 2018.
Okay. Yeah, and so just to kind of wrap up this arc, so essentially we see that we have to introduce Alpha / Gamma Flight, so it's like a team of people it was originally headed by Captain Marvel at the time, but during the course of the storyline, she kind of faded out of the leadership role. But we see a Walter Langowski, who's the Sasquatch. He was Bruce's roommate in college, and he also has like Hulk-like powers. And so he hooks up with Jackie McGee, where she's looking for him. And in this storyline, Jackie finally does get to meet Bruce and the Immortal Hulk. A fight ensues because Sasquatch gets taken over by, at the time, we don't know who's in his body because he dies and then comes back through the green door. So essentially, with Walter, he fights the Sasquatch, and we learn that Bruce's dad is in... He walked through the green door and took over the Sasquatch aspect of Walter. So then a fight ensues, and since the Hulk can absorb gamma, he ends up absorbing all the gamma, depowering Walter, but he also takes in the spirit of his dad. So he goes to the original location where he first got his powers through the gamma bomb, ends up fighting like the absorbing man who is on crack. And oh my gosh, that fight, like he split it. Like, it's hard to describe, but it's essentially like he's fighting a spine in a head.
Yeah. So essentially like because he became Gamma 2, he also gets possessed, and in his possession, like, his body literally splits vertically. Think of the Thing in the original movie, how, like, the body just splits apart, and all you see is this man's spine and brain.
Oh.
And, like, maybe a couple teeth, sharp teeth, and that's about it, and he just keeps going. I'm just like, sir!
Yes. So, in this arc, after Hulk... He doesn't really defeat them, but going into it, they all die in a sense, and they enter what amounts to hell. So if you want to cover that part.
Oh yeah, so basically in Gamma Hell, this is where like you start seeing a lot of deceased characters who are gamma based, and a thing about it is that they all like are emaciated. They like basically just huff. And with like no eyes in there, so like Jackie ends up seeing her father there, and they all like start muttering just one specific phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you see like Rick Jones there, who we know is like is the Hulk's best friend, who was also gamma powered. He was A-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And like he kept saying like, no, Hulk is a good guy, Hulk's a good guy, Hulk is my pal and whatnot. And essentially, like, this world was just horrifying. Because, like, when they get into, basically, hell, Hulk and Banner split. So, like, they are separated because Brian Banner ended up separating them. Because, essentially, Brian Banner was also being controlled
yes.
by the One Below All. And we kept saying the One Below All. One Below All is essentially the devil.
Beyond Mephisto.
Yes, yes. He's actually more powerful than Mephisto, as stated in two, like, side comics, which you definitely should read, and I'll recommend them. But, yeah, so, like, he's more powerful than them, and then Mephisto. And like, his plan was just for Banner to, like, basically be the gateway to where the One Below All can come through and run roughshod on the entire world
mm-hmm.
and the universe. So, yeah, so, like, they're there. Hulk is also emaciated because of the fact that Devil Hulk, he's separated from Banner, so he doesn't have, like, all of his strength.
Right.
But of course, like, Hulk, like, he gets it back through sheer rage and willpower.
Yeah.
Man's literally too angry to die. And like, they all essentially, like, they beat the One Below All back. And you get a real touching moment between Bruce and the Devil Hulk in there.
Yeah. This is so sweet. Like, we see a lot of time when Bruce does die, the Immortal Hulk comes back / Devil Hulk, and then he says, if you hurt Banner, I take it personal, which is like something that recurs a long time, and it's really cool. But Bruce, he's like so damaged just like with his dad. Because in this, he gets possessed and just like he sees things and he's just like, I don't want to go. I just want to die. I want it to end. And the Devil Hulk is like, I love you, kid. And it's a really touching moment just to see him say that. So they come back and then we get into our next arc, which is what I would like to call the World Breaker, Roxxon, and Minotaur arc. So with this, when he comes back, he essentially wants to end the world, but it's not in the way that a lot of people think. So he comes back with his own manifesto. He's like, yo, I'm about to destroy human society and all that. And people are like, oh, so we have to look out for the Hulk. But he also has like a cult following that starts to build up during this time, which is really cool. And in this arc, he does return to Betty, who is being watched by Shadowbase. And she's really hurt because not the fact that he returned. Well, the fact that he killed himself, it's the fact that he killed himself. And when he returned, he didn't reach out to her. So she just feels betrayed by that because, you know, Bruce is just like, you know, he does a thing. He's the protagonist, lone protagonist kind of trope that they go with.
Even when married.
Yes. And from there, when they have the conversation, they visit. Betty actually dies. She gets shot straight through the head because the cyborg doesn't know the difference between them and thermal vision, and he wasn't supposed to shoot. But she dies, and the Hulk loses his absolute mind, of course. And then we get the return of Doc Samson.
Oh, yes. So essentially, Doc Samson, another gamma power character. He's kind of like, you know, the biblical Samson, where his hair is his power. So if he has long hair, he has strength comparable to Hulk, and he's there basically like, and he's also a therapist. So his main thing is like him trying to like not only calm Hulk down, but also get to the root of like why. It's like, what you on to, my boy? Because they've been friends for like a long time. And also, you kind of neglect to mention this for a bit, but of course, like Betty gets shot and she dead, right? But here's the thing. She was at one time the Red She-Hulk, spoiler alert, and for like a 20 plus year story. And also the fact that one time she was actually mutated into a gamma harpy. So when she dies and comes back, she becomes a red harpy. And good googly moogly. Red harpy is the monstrosity.
A sight to behold.
Like, Lord have mercy. But yeah, so like she comes back and like, of course, Hulk, Samson is basically trying to get to the root of like Hulk's issues, which as a therapist, you definitely should be doing.
Yes.
Especially for a super damaged person like him. But that's where you get like his true motivation and what Immortal Hulk really wants to do for society.
Yes. Yeah, so wrapping up the Shadowbase arc, essentially Shadowbase brings back the body of Rick Jones. And they do something really sick. So they mold him with the Abomination, Emil Blonsky, who is dead at the time. And it's like a super Abomination. And so with that, just to kind of fast forward, Abomination tracks down, at the time, I believe it's Joe Fixit. Yeah, we see Joe Fixit returns, but he can only be in Bruce's form. So Joe Fixit is human. They have Abomination kills a few people. Then Immortal Hulk comes back. And he gets absolutely bodied by Abomination. And like, because Abomination has like this essentially xenomorph saliva that he like pukes on people and causes you to melt. And this is when we like really, really see Harpy. But she comes and she takes his heart out and eats it. I'm talking about the Hulk. She kills the Hulk and eats his heart. And oh my gosh, that was just a wild scene. So then he comes back. But she does that to the Savage Hulk. So Immortal Hulk comes back. Then he gets his get back on the Abomination. And he's like, yo, don't do that again. Because we're going to have problems. So just with that, then General 14, he becomes the Abomination. And then he essentially dies as well with that. So this is kind of where I'm talking about the Roxxon arc. Hulk becomes the leader of Shadowbase. And something that's also important that happened in the first arc is that there was this kid who died because his dad injected him with gamma. And so he's essentially a radiation. Is it like the Gamma Man, Radiation Kid?
He doesn't really have an official name. Unofficially, you could say like he's called the Walking Ghost because like that's essentially what that chapter was called.
Okay.
But yeah, so like essentially this kid's like he was basically still alive and he was taken in by a Roxxon.
Mm-hmm. And he's at this time completely just gamma being that's in a tube. So when Hulk gives his manifesto, we see this really cool scene where he talks to Amadeus Cho, where Bruce Banner talks to him. And he's just like, hey, if you really want to destroy the world, I'm going to have to check you. But he's like, I do believe you're still a good guy, Bruce. And that's kind of the last time we see him, which I just really respected that they really gave Bruce that time in this comic. We do see a brief Namor run, which is really interesting, considering the fact that Wakanda Forever is about to come out. So that was really cool. So with this, we see the Minotaur, who is the most out-of-pocket character in this entire story.
All right, let's get into him. Let's get into the Minotaur and what type of op activity this man is on. So essentially, he is the head of Roxxon, and he did so many out-of-pocket things, not just in an Immortal Hulk, but also he created Weapon H, who's literally the Hulk merged with Wolverine. But we're not getting to that guy. He a whole separate character and issue. But essentially, like, what he does is he gets this character called Zemnu. Now, Zemnu was actually called the Living Hulk in his, like, original debut. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's trying to get his Hulk identity back and trying to get that run back. And Zemnu came out before Bruce Banner Incredible Hulk did. So yeah, he is a throwback. And, like, essentially, like, he comes in and Zemnu, he's, like, hypnotizing people to basically say, like, all right, Bruce Banner Hulk is pure evil, and essentially I'm the good guy, I'm the OG Hulk, I'm the one that's the Avenger, and he's kind of running roughshod on the entire planet, and of course Bruce / Hulk got a problem with that. Mm-hmm. So Hulk decided to go run the pockets, and pockets got ran, especially to the Minotaur.
Yes. So just kind of in this interlay, this is where the Immortal Hulk gets kind of locked away. And Savage Hulk really steps up, because in that, Bruce as well as the Immortal Hulk get hypnotized, and in their mindscape, Immortal Hulk gets locked away. And this is where I really thought of the Lovecraftian. So Minotaur, he releases like 4 Lovecraftian monster beings that all the Gamma Flight / Shadow Base and the Hulks have to fight, which was an incredible scene.
And one of them was literally named Lovecraft.
Yeah, so right on the nose. What I actually, about the Minotaur that was out of pocket, he did this thing where this is a big giant being, people, and he like sips out of these teacups, and every time he finishes it, he smashes it. Well, he just crushes it in his skull. But then he goes up to people who annoy him, and he just grabs them by their head and just squishes their head. It's so out of pocket. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but he's the ruler of Roxxon. He does what he wants.
So, yeah, but he gets eaten by Zemnu, which is a wild scene. And in this, so we do see that Hulk ultimately gets his ultimately gets his get back on the Minotaur and all that, but this is where it starts to just like shift in the story. We see the reintroduction of the leader.
Oh boy. All right. Samuel Stern's little leader decided to come back to the fold. And he had special machinations, and that is access the Green Door and essentially like usurp Brian Banner as the avatar of the One Below All. And unfortunately, he succeeds, but not in the way he wanted to. Because mm-hmm. instead of just becoming the Avatar, he literally becomes the One Below All. Like, the One Below All takes over his body.
Yes. Yes, this is absolutely wild. So I hadn't seen... I knew who the leader was, but I hadn't seen too many comic book storylines with him in it. And this was just, like, such a great introduction. The fact that he's going to be in some capacity, Captain America 4 is very interesting to me. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but that should hopefully be interesting. So then we see in this arc, Devil Hulk, since he's locked away, he gets killed in this just like really sad scene where all the Hulks are locked away in Bruce's mindscape, and Stearns is the strongest, essentially. And so they finally get free because he's essentially taken over 3 different bodies, and he can't control it because it's all at once. So if one place gets interfered with, then it interferes with his link. And so Immortal Hulk is beating him, but these Kid Hulk, essentially big guy, he holds him back. He just wants his daddy to love him. And so that's kind of how he views the leader. And this ends up getting the Devil Hulk killed.
RIP to a real one, because the leader in One Below All's body was essentially like he manipulated himself to shape-shifted to look like Brian Banner. That's why the Savage Hulk kind of reacted the way he did. Mm-hmm. And like the Devil Hulk, like in his true most powerful form, like he was giving him the business.
Absolutely. Yeah, so in this form he has scales and he's like lizard like and like actually scary, where in the normal form he's just like a bigger Hulk. So that's some context.
But so like as I said, RIP to a real one. Immortal Hulk was not the villain of the story. He was actually probably the true hero. And with that, because Devil Hulk's dead, Bruce Banner ends up losing his body as well, because he gets captured in the Gamma Hell.
Yes.
So because of that, there was no one else to control Bruce's body other than Joe Fixit. Mm-hmm. So essentially, Joe Fixit was in control of Bruce's body the entire time until he hulks out, where Savage Hulk takes control.
Yes. And it was really cool, like, in this, so Bruce is completely held hostage, and what happens to him is horrible. So with this, they do fight another set of ops who are the UFOs, who are very familiar comic book villains, and they're boosted with cosmic rays, which is kind of like, not the opposite, but it's a counterforce to Bruce's gamma rays, and they absolutely body Hulk, because he doesn't have his powers, he's really weak at the time. And after they body him, Joe Fixit is able to get his Hulk powers back. So in the Mindscape, he becomes Red Hulk. But when he's out of it, he's able to become Gray Hulk. And with that, we see a lot of different deaths that occur. Again, you can just kind of read the comic for yourself. It's such a complex and good storyline to get into every aspect of it. But when he comes back, he's free. He beats them. He manages to escape. And we do see a scene with him and the Thing, who have, like, the rivalry of the century.
Oh, yes, yes. Of course, you know, like, Thing is always wanting to try to prove he's stronger than the Hulk. It's a tale as old as time. It's a rivalry as old as time. It's the Goku and Vegeta of Hulksness.
Yes.
With a Hulk being, he's the Vegeta personality with the strength of Goku, while while Thing is the exact opposite. and he gets bodied every time.
Yes.
But essentially, like, this is just a case where, like, the Thing was, like, had, like, a good tenuous friendship in this mm-hmm. one, because he understands, like, kind of what Joe Fixit is doing and what he's, like, going through. Because Joe Fixit, he's just, like, trying to, like, all right, we need to, like, gather as many heroes as possible.
Right.
And we need to go rescue Bruce. Because that's what he's caring about right now, is rescuing Bruce. And then also him seeing the Savage Hulk act like a little child and not actually hurting and going out and hurting people like Immortal Hulk was kind of out of pocket doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what caused Thing to, like, turn around and, like, see him as, like, a good character.
Yeah, and the reason that people are after the Hulk again is because the leader, he was in Rick Jones' body this entire time, who also had a weird body transformation. But the Hulk was getting rewarded, and the leader set off a gamma explosion, which killed a lot of people, and everyone blamed the Hulk for it. So that's kind of like what set off why everyone is after him again. So after meeting the Thing, we then get into a Avengers Part 2 fight.
So, all right. So with this, so essentially what actually comes into play is the fact that something that just got, like, introduced in this comic was the fact that, like, gamma radiated people, like, they can spread kind of, like, their anger and infect other people.
Uh-huh.
Which actually gets more expanded on in the next run. But essentially, like, Bruce's anger and his gamma field anger was infecting the Avengers, making them not think clearly. Especially Thor, who at the time was trying to get his run back. And they all decided to just go after Hulk. And again, Joe Fixit, he's just like, bruh, stop.
Chill.
Just stop. Chill. Chill out. Chill out. Chill out.
Yes.
It's like a classic case of, like, hey, you push the right buttons, you mm-hmm. going, it's like, you mess around, you find out.
Yes.
And the Avengers found out real quick.
Yeah, so I like how you mentioned the gamma spreading, because it does get slightly teased with Walter early on, when he dies the first time and his dad enters the body, but it kind of gets slightly touched upon more here, and then, as you said, explained later. So then gamma flight Gamma Flight steps into the fray along with Shadow Base. So with Gamma Flight, just to kind of give the characters, since we're going to touch on it later, we have Puck, who you can kind of explain later. I don't know too much about him. Titania, who is much different than the She-Hulk version. Absorbing Man, who is now free from Shadow Base's influence. And then also Doc Samson, and then Harpy is there to help and fight the Avengers. And in it, this chapter is told from, part of this chapter is told from Jen's perspective, so She-Hulk, and she understands what their issue is because she has seen the Green Door as well. So in this fight, oh my gosh, I remember Betty made her choose because Bruce, it was, he got attacked by Black Panther and like essentially ran through with a spear, and Harpy was going to step in to help, but she then looks at Jen. And then she makes Jen do the Hulk sonic clap, and then they all leave.
Yep, yep. It was like, what you gonna choose? Your blood family or your Avengers family? What you gonna choose? And of course, she chose correctly with the Gamma family. And with that, like, now with like Hulk basically freed, and essentially like all Gamma Flight, essentially like Gamma Flight, Shadow Base, or at least what's left of it, along with like all these heroes, they're all together, and they're now able to like, all right, we now have a plan, and we're now able to go take care of things. But before that, you have like a really kind of heartbreaking scene between Red Harpy and Joe Fixit, where essentially that marriage gets broken up because of the fact that Joe essentially bears out his soul to Betty, who's in her Red Harpy form, basically speaking on behalf of Bruce, but Betty's like having none of it because of all the times that like Bruce has like left her, all the times that like he's basically hurt her like emotionally, and in like one specific comic actually physically. So essentially like she just leaves. Yeah, as she's apt to do.
It was sad because, like, it was after they were intimate in their Hulk forms. But it's crazy. We'll touch on it in the character interactions, but in it, Betty doesn't reveal her normal self to Bruce, but she does show it to Joe and all the other people. So whenever Bruce sees her, she's always the Harpy, but sometimes she turns it off. And you saw that she was coming around to Joe Fixit, but when he said that he left Bruce in hell, you saw how much she still cares about Bruce, and then she took off, which was sad. So then just transitioning, we all learning that She-Hulk, she used to be a member of the Fantastic Four. She uses that connection, but all the Avengers are there ready to pull up on them. And so I really like this scene because this chapter, it's the penultimate chapter. It's told from the perspective of Jackie McGee, and she's talking about the anger that the Avengers feel as soon as Hulk walks through the door. And then she also touches on that out of all the people that could understand the Hulk, the Fantastic Four are maybe the only ones because they too were exposed to radiation in an accident that they couldn't control. And when they came back, they were mostly viewed as monsters, especially the Thing. So like out of all the people that could understand the Hulk, the Fantastic Four are among those people. So with that, they use this Forever Gate, and Jackie and Joe Fixit step into through the gate, and they go to Gamma Hell. With this, the Savage Hulk and Joe Fixit split, and then it's on to the final arc.
Woo! The final fight, boys and girls. So with that, basically like Joe Fixit and Savage Hulk, they both go and essentially fight the leader. They free Bruce. And they essentially take out the leader. They take him out, put him 6 feet on. They put him on a T-shirt. And with that comes probably the biggest moment where Savage Hulk, because the One Below All just appears before them.
Yeah.
And then like Joe Fixit comes to the realization, like, hold on, there's something about you, right? I know this because of the fact, like, I know I'm a Hulk. You are just a manifestation of pure rage in itself. Show your true face, one above all.
When that reveal happened, my jaw dropped. I was stunned, especially just like even the image of it was just like, whoa, because it's like one panel and it's just like light. And the crazy thing is that they, when they look upon the one below all's face, they don't see what we physically see. They see like their loved ones, like essentially like parents is like what Jackie sees. She sees the face of her mom. Joe sees like his boss leader in when he was in Vegas at the time, who was like a dad to him. And then even just Savage Hulk is just scared to look upon its face. And they ask why. Why is Hulk? Why is Hulk feeling pain? Why do I have to suffer like this? And it's very Book of Job inspired, clearly, from this. And the one below it all is just like, yo, like, I don't know why you asking me that. Like, where you? And so this kind of that ties into like the intro of this show, where it's just like, it's the one below all is asking questions of, who are you to question me?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Because essentially, like, hey, one above all is essentially God in the Marvel verse, and
literally God.
Yeah, he is God, and he does exactly what God did in the Book of Job, where like he just says, hey, listen, all this is part of like my machinations, it's all part of my plans. And I know, like, if there's one person who could take it all, it'd be you. And you, like, you have the strength to not only face all these pain, all these obstacles, but also have the ability to overcome it. And I'm just here thinking like, dang, that's real.
Yeah. And just even in this final chapter, there is like an interlay of a story in the flashback where it talks about Stern's background. And then we do see that the Sterns and the Banners have some kind of connection from century ago, which is really crazy to think about.
Yeah, and that's actually expanded in the same side issue that I mentioned previously. Mm-hmm. Again, like I'll recommend it to y'all eventually, but yeah, so like with that, you also see like basically Banner, Savage Hulk, and Joe Fixer, they all just basically like, they're like, they came to an agreement. They finally like got over one another, and they're all like on the same page, on the same wavelength. And the first thing they do is offer forgiveness to Samuel Stearns.
Which was crazy. That was such a beautiful scene.
Yeah. And with that, they end up like, after accepting, they all go through the gate. They come back, and it's a touching narration just about, this narration is actually coming from Bruce's perspective,
right?
And how he essentially like, hey, I went through all of this nonsense, all of this crap, but today's like a new day. Today's a new dawn and a new beginning. And let me take this one day at a time and see where it leads.
And that wraps up one of the greatest storylines of all time. So with that, we can get into just the character breakdown. What I loved about the story is that the monster returned. And we'll talk about slight MCU things, but they let the Hulk be the Hulk. And just like the connection between just like, oh, I'm a troubled, traumatized individual, and this being, and you see that the old other Hulks have their own baggage beyond, I'm just an angry monster. And yeah, even just the double Hulk. Wow.
Yeah. And like with that, you also get like the art, which displays like just so much gruesome detail. And I just love the writer for the series, because he just gave it. Like, he just let you know just how much of a demon, how much of a monster the Hulk truly is. And it brings him right back to form with how he was depicted in the original comics, as you said, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, with Mr. Hyde being a whole monster.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like as you said, like over the years, especially with MCU stuff, Hulk treated more like a heroic character. This one, he's kind of more muddled.
Yeah.
He's more gray, if you will.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-ts.
And there is this, we didn't have time to touch on it, but there is like one chapter where it gets into Worldbreaker Hulk, where Hulk is the only being at the end of the universe, and he essentially searches for any other light in the universe and destroys that light. It's like a, not necessarily a side story, but it's like a what if, in a sense. And it kind of touches on the monster aspect of it. So even with this, there's a lot of parallelism and duality through the story, which I really loved, with just like Gray Hulk and then Savage Hulk, big guy, where he does have that kid-like personality. So that was just beautiful.
And when it comes to, and now let's get into like some of the parallelism, some of the duality within the story, just basically how, like, with the Hulk, there's like two aspects of him. It's like, hey, like when it came to the Immortal Hulk, he kept talking about like destroying the world, when in reality, like, he's actually saving it by doing kind of heinous activities, by, as he claims, like, I'm destroying the human world, mm-hmm. and just how human society basically is in comparison to like what, in comparison to like what real nature is.
Yeah. So again, destroy the world or save it? It was a question that the one above all asked. And before each chapter, there is a quote or a saying or a verse that ties into that chapter, and it's like just really deep. So I really like that aspect of it. And just even everyone has a Hulk. Like when it ended, I was kind of just like, whoa, even the one above all has a Hulk. So that's just wild to get into. So for our next part, we're going to get into the interactions with the other characters.
So yeah, when it comes to interacting with like different characters and just how real it is, we got to start off with his wife, Betty, because like that one is just a heartbreaking, like, love story, tragedy, if you will, because like, with this, like, you know, this woman thought her husband was dead for years, or years at least, in terms of like comic publication, but like, who knows like how long it was between when he died and when he was resurrected. But like, he was dead for a long time. He came back, and as you mentioned, like, he never got in contact with her until just then, when he's like, oh hey. Like, she probably, like, already saw in the news that, like, Hulk was already wilding out. Right. And, like, the fights that he had with the Avengers. I'm pretty sure, like, that was truly heartbreaking. And how, like, basically, like, with her Hulk, like, all of her, like, internal resentment for Bruce in that moment, all of her internal, like, resentment with herself, like, that created the Red Harpy personality.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, when you first see her, she, like, she does want to slap him, but then she kisses him. And they do talk it out, and like, you see the love between them, and there is hurt, but like, they're working through it. And then once she becomes Red Harpy after dying, it's just like that split happens, and it almost becomes irreconcilable. Like, every time Bruce talks to her, she's Red Harpy, and he literally can't look at her. He's like, please just turn back to Betty. And she's like, this is me, this is my true face. And yeah, for other characters, she becomes Betty again, and that's just like really hard to watch, especially like leading up to them leaving, because sometimes, like, yeah, you do have love between two people, and it just doesn't work for whatever reason.
Yep. I don't want to get into that part, but let's move on to Doc Samson, a real one.
Yes,
the therapist who like always just wants to like listen to the Hulk. Always throws them provocative questions of why, and always is there to like essentially provide Hulk that that level of humanity, if you will, asking all the tough questions.
I really love, because again, like with this, I haven't read too many Hulk comics, but seeing Doc Samson, like him and like Immortal Hulk, just the conversations they were having were so high level, and he genuinely cared about the Hulk. Like, it wasn't, because like, in the Halloween series where Loomis, and then also whoever the dude was after Loomis in the reboot.
Sartain.
Yeah, where it's just like, you're an experiment to me, and I'm trying to like figure out what's going on. And if I solve you, this like furthers my career, or like, oh, it's a scientific marvel. This was like, yo, I'm really trying to help you, Bruce. And it's like, okay, you're not Bruce, you're the Immortal Hulk. Okay, Immortal Hulk, let me talk to you. Okay, you're Joe Fixit. Okay, Joe Fixit, let me address you. Savage Hulk, okay, let me talk to you, big guy. Like, he addressed each alter as like them, and he wasn't just like trying to fix it a lot. So I loved it. He was like so involved with that. There's a lot of body switching, which again kind of goes into the Lovecraftian aspect that I know you had to love. And speaking of which, someone who switched bodies was Walter, his friend from college, also Sasquatch.
Yep, because Sasquatch and Doc Samson end up getting their body switched to where now you get Doc Sasquatch and Walter Samson. And like with that one, right, like Walter is, yeah, he was college roommates with Bruce. Like, he was just like a genuinely good guy. And then he opened the green door, and boom, came out the demon Tanarak, which bonded with him and became Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. And Sasquatch was essentially just, I'd say, like a savage, just a savage, hairy version of Hulk.
Yeah, Canadian version.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. You can't forget that. Pretty much almost all the members of Alpha Flight are Canadian superheroes.
Did not know that. Okay.
Yep, they were all Canadian. And yes, like, with that, like, you get to just see, like, Walter basically, like, because in the story, right, it was basically revealed that, like, he was Sasquatch for so long, there were periods where he'd be Sasquatch for, like, months, mm-hmm. years at a time, and then, like, you barely see Walter, and when he transformed into Walter, it'd be tough for him to even do so, which is kind of wild. It's like, huh, what's the real Walter? Is it the Sasquatch, or is it the human?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a question that's brought up a lot with Hulk.
And it's interesting, he doesn't actually interact with Bruce a lot in this storyline, but he is like a force that kind of helps guide Jackie along. He also, when he takes over Doc Samson, when he takes over Doc Samson, he goes to the Fantastic Four and helps them kind of figure out the Forever Gate to actually locate the Gamma Hell, in a sense, which is really cool. Like, he's a really help. And he, like, again, cares about Bruce. It's really good to see a storyline where people care about Bruce. So now we get into one of our favorite characters, Jacqueline McGee, and just her storyline. She was like, she was here at the beginning and then she hopped in the end. She was almost in every chapter, every storyline that mattered as like a story reporter. We see her just like healing through it. And when she first sees Bruce, she cannot look him in the eye because that's what her dad tells her. Don't look the Hulk in the eye. So when Bruce is in his normal form after Sasquatch gets killed, she doesn't look at him. Then when he turns into the mortal Hulk, she doesn't look at him. And then Hulk is like, yo, what's up with you? Like, I know it's personal. And she tells him the story. And then she really, if we did awards for you was really spitting, she was spitting about the rage thing, where it's just like, it's okay for you to be angry and you get rewarded for it. To an extent, as the Hulk, where I have to suppress my rage a lot. I want to be like you. How do I become a Hulk? And so just with that, she's like a helpful hand. Like, she really wants the story, but the story isn't key to like why she's helping a lot or like just sticking around, because she could have left at any time she wanted to. And then we do see she has gamma powers where she can see, and she plays a key role against the one below all. And then also a touching tribute where Joe Fixit apologizes to her, which was, incredible. Yeah,
Jack is an incredible character. And her speech is kind of like what inspired that She-Hulk speech in the first episode, when it talked about like, hey, women can't get angry and whatnot, but done way more like poignantly in this story here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's move on to Rick Jones, a.k.a. the man that Bruce saved in that explosion that turned him into the Hulk. Mm-hmm. And with that, like, Rick Jones was always there for Bruce whenever things were, he was kind of like his sidekick, if you will. Like, it was his version of Bucky.
Yeah.
If Bucky couldn't fight. But but yeah, like, of course, over time, Rick Jones also got gamma powers. And it's also great to like see like their buddy-buddy relationship, and how essentially like Rick Jones always kind of like emotionally kept like Hulk back, like emotionally kept him from going off the deep end a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's usually the stories where he's not involved, that's when the Hulk is kind of goes spiraling out of control, like in Immortal Hulk at the beginning. So because like at that time Rick Jones was dead because of Secret Empire and Nazi Cap. Can I get into that one? But yeah, so Rick Jones, just fantastic character.
Yeah, Rick kind of gets the short end of the stick in this because he's not Rick a lot in this storyline, or at least I don't know when the delineation occurs, because the leader does take him over. And then when the leader is out of his body, Rick Jones is mutated beyond belief. So that's one thing to say. And then for the Fantastic Four, we kind of touched on it with just like them being able to understand. So now we turn our ops op alert on, and we get into the relationships with the ops.
All right, so let's start off with General Fortian, aka disciple of General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, aka Hulk's biggest op. This man actually like had a pretty fantastic, pretty interesting journey, or like an interesting like villain decay, where he always like talked about like, you know, like God and like control and chaos. And then over time, you start seeing him decay more into the chaos side of things, mm-hmm. especially because like, especially as like he's seeing like Hulk go out of control, and he start taking more desperate measures, such as bonding with the Abomination suit, becoming yes. the new Abomination. I'm like, bruh, why did you have to do a brother like this?
That was wow.
He was doing too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was just in essentially the first 12 to 15 volumes, he's like the main villain in that. Going from there, I put the UFOs next just because like they are a popular villain and they absolutely bodied the Hulk in this one. So
yeah, and actually the name of the UFOs.
UFOs, okay.
Yeah, not the UFOs. They're not unknown flying objects, but well, actually one of them technically could, but yeah, so like they pretty much just are there specifically to body Hulk and give Joe Fixit cosmic ray powers mm-hmm. to give him his strength. Essentially, he's just like that gateway in order to... They're like a gateway villain.
Mm-hmm. Is there usually a dash in their name? Right.
Yeah, it's like U-dash.
Okay, that's what messed me up. UFOs. So then Avengers, where we see they fight them twice, and whew, sun rays.
Yep. Not much more we can say about the Avengers, because you know who they is.
Mm-hmm. So going from there... I'll go Alpha Gamma Flight first, just because they played a much bigger role than I thought they would. They popped up real early. Again, Titania, who is in a relationship with the Absorbing Man, and then also Puck is really just like the main ones. Also, Captain Marvel's in there for the first fight mm-hmm. with the Hulk, but then she's no longer... She's more Avenger than Alpha Flight.
Yeah, like Gamma Flight is an amazing... like. They're less like villains and more like the antagonists of the story. Well, right. They started off as antagonists and then become allies towards the end.
Yep.
So much so that they get their own like little mini series afterwards.
Yeah.
And Gamma Flight, like they're all like amazing characters, especially Puck, because Puck, he's just the jolly one. He's kind of like the heart of the group. And over time, like you start seeing more and more of that, to where like even villains like Titania and Absorbing Man slowly change and becoming more akin to like heroic, like anti-heroes mm-hmm. type of characters. But yeah, great people.
Yeah, because I would like that chapter where it's the Absorbing Man who accidentally opens the green door into the real world, and then Puck is the one that reaches out to him and offers him like.
Salvation
in a sense. So again, duality within the story. Going to the next one, we have, we'll save the leader for last, but Minotaur, Wild and Out. I thought they were going to get a 101, but I liked how they did do it.
Oh no, that's because of the fact that that he actually had to play a key role in the War of the Realms event, the Thor event that came
yes.
right after the Immortal Hulk. That was like right in the middle,
because it was like within the Venom event too as well.
Yeah, it's like it was like right in the middle, so he couldn't get taken out, but man he sure got messed up. I'm just saying that.
Next one, the leader. Wow, so with the leader, essentially they do a storyline where it's kind of like he, as Sam Stearns, and the leader, they keep dying over and over, and it's just like this, when you're so smart, they're like battling themselves for intelligence, and like he's figuring out the green door, like where he can manipulate it, where he's within the Gamma Hell, and he's looking through three different people's green doors, and he can access it, and it's so wild to control them, like, and just him being one of the biggest villains to the Hulk is really incredible how they told his story.
Oh yeah, and he actually gets touched on slightly more in the Immortal She-Hulk one shot, where in which like he, as you mentioned, like he can look through multiple people's like gamma doors, but he can also turn them off to where they turn into red doors, and like once you go through the red door, you can't come back. So essentially, death is permanent again, and. Because, hey, green means go. You can come and go as you please. Once you red, you stop and you stuck. And that was kind of like one of Jennifer Walters, like her main struggles, which was being afraid of death because of the fact that he turned hers off. And that's why, like, you never saw her, like, resurrect throughout the entirety of the Hulk story.
That's true.
But yeah, like, he's a phenomenal villain. Like, that's why he's categorized as one of his best villains, especially in the show, mm-hmm. or like in the cartoon series and whatnot.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to see like him come back. But
I hope they give it to him in his full glory.
Yeah. But let's get into the biggest op of all. The man who is below.
The op below all.
The op below all.
I don't know what the end goal was for the one below all. Like, I was just trying to understand it. That was like the one thing that I found was difficult. Especially towards the end, where it's just like, show me your true face, and then he became the one above all, where I guess it was just control and taking over in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, just take over. Essentially, like that one off scenario that you mentioned, that what if. Basically, that was his end goal, which is take over Hulk and get rid of the entire cosmos and then restart it all again. Okay.
That makes sense. So for the next part, what we always like to touch on in our character studies is relatability. And with this, something that was super relatable was the healing from your past and forgiving those that have wronged you. So again, we touched on Bruce's trauma. We touched on Jackie's trauma. Even the leader, again, there's like kind of a one shot where it talks about his story, how he came to be in control of the Green Door. And then also the backstory with him and the Banner family previously. So just with that, I thought it was super relatable, where it's just like Jackie was really hurt by the Hulk. Like, essentially her dad died because of the stress of the Hulk. And to be in so many chapters standing right next to him and to be helping him this entire time. And, like, you didn't see any hate in her heart towards the Hulk, essentially. She was scared of him. Don't get it wrong. She was angry at times, but she didn't, like, hate him, which a lot of people do. And so that was incredible. And healing from things is something that I definitely could understand.
Yeah, 100%. Like, especially, like, the topic of forgiving those that have wronged you, because it's so easy to, like, hold grudges. It's so easy to really, like, let that turn you into a monster and like, work through that, to work through it and to be forgiven and to also forgive others is really great. And especially, like, why you think one of my favorite characters is Venom? Like, he managed to forgive Parker for everything and also come to terms with himself and realize, like, hey, like, I may have been the problem the whole time. And yeah, it's like when it comes to like Hulk and the leader, like seeing like that at the end, like to bookend everything, it's like, yes. Hey, I forgive you, and to offer that moment of forgiveness just really put like it didn't bring me to tears, but it choked me up a little. It really choked me up a little.
Definitely, because I know we talked about, okay, as a hero, it makes more sense sometimes to just take out your op, like, because then they're gonna come back and destroy everything or whatever. This was like, so like we get on Batman with Joker a lot for that. But with this, it wasn't just like, oh, we put you in Arkham or whatever. It was, I forgive you, and you are also a Hulk. I know the pain that you went through and what led you to this. And I'm one of the few people that can understand that. Like, a Hulk is a Hulk, and Hulk should forgive Hulks. Was so touching of a storyline. So just even to forgive the leader in that sense. And then a theme, how it ended is like, am I a good guy? And it's just like up to it. So that's definitely relatable in that sense. So touching on that, we're transitioning out of just the review and go into what do we want from MCU Hulk or other projects.
All right, so this may be out there for me. I want to see like Hulk, or at least Bruce, dealing with the multiple personalities. That is something that has been sorely lacking in the series. Especially when it came to like him turning into the smart Hulk, especially off screen.
I'm gonna get into all of that.
Like that bothered me so much.
I'm gonna get into everything like that, yeah.
But not only that, right? There was a deleted scene from Infinity War that showed the actual duality and showed them coming together. I'm like, why'd you take it out?
Oh, I haven't seen that. Is it still on the net?
Oh yeah, it's on YouTube.
I'm gonna look at that.
Yeah, look at it. You will be as enraged as I was. But yeah, like main thing I want to see is like him struggling with the multiple personalities. Like, I want to see Joe Fix It come out. I want to see him go gray.
They said they thought about doing Gray Hulk for Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and then they didn't. I'm like, why? Why, man? You know what? Main thing I want to see from MCU Hulk. duality struggles.
Okay, so with this, what we want to see, it's actually mostly a gripe, and we actually have a get it off your chest later, but it's not related to this, but some gripes that I have. So I have two, and they kind of tie in together. So I'm trying to think of how to do this first. So post-Infinity War, Hulk got punked by Thanos. He got punked. Everybody joked about him, cracked on the Hulk. They said, yo, you didn't come out because Thanos punked you. He beat you without the Infinity Stones and then knocked you to Earth, essentially. I know he took the escape, but he made him run. So, like, and he never got his get back. He never boosted. Like, it was like he got beat up. He wouldn't want to come out. They didn't explain it. So then everyone just, like, made the assumption, and they never, like, gave an on-screen reason for why he didn't want to come out. So it made him look like an absolute punk. And then in Endgame, never got his get back. He was already Professor Hulk. And just, like, kind of from there, he's a joke. Like, even as She-Hulk, like, he's not a real character to, like, follow, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this ties into my my biggest gripe. All of Hulk's character development happens off-screen. He has no on-screen character development that makes sense to follow. So let me just, like, give some context to it. So I had to look it up. We've said it multiple times, but Marvel does not own the distribution rights to the Hulk. That's owned by Universal. So they can make Hulk movies. They can include Hulk in their projects because they have the production rights. But if they want to make an individual Hulk movie, Universal has to give the green light. So that just gives it kind of context why we haven't seen an individual Hulk product. But going into the off-screen part. So we have first appearance Avengers. He's the monster. We kind of see, like, the interplay of it. Then we get into Age of Ultron. And it's like, oh, he's in love with Natasha, who we've seen flirt with every Avenger for the movies that she was in. Because in Captain America, Winter Soldier, she was definitely flirting with Cap. 100%. Yeah. But then she's in love with Hulk, which is fine. And then they both kind of like, oh, I have a monster inside me. I can kind of understand that. So that's fine. And then he flies off to space because he's just like, yo, I'm a monster. I really deal with that. So that's good character development. But then Planet Hulk is co-opted into Thor Ragnarok. That's one of his most popular storylines, and they don't explain it. So then it's just like, okay, Hulk is Hulk. He's a bit smarter since he's been that way for years, which is fine. Then we get into Infinity War. So this is where the off-screen development thing really gets to me. He gets punked, and then we see him in Endgame, and he's Professor Hulk. There's no explanation of that, like I mentioned, of how he became it. It's just like, oh, we melded it together. And then never gets his get back. And then, so then we kind of transition into the later stories where it's like, even in Endgame, like, he's like, that one scene where it's the flashback time thing, and he's just like, oh, I'll be the Hulk. He takes off the shirt. He's like, roar, roar. Like, you punked the Hulk and made him not scary, in my opinion. And then so then we get into She-Hulk. I feel like I almost skipped something, but we get into She-Hulk, and it's like, oh, I have a son. It is literally like, you haven't done any setup for that. And, like, his son looks like a teenager. It hasn't been that many years since then. And it's just like, so, okay, cool, you have a son. That, how did this happen? Oh, it happened during Planet Hulk, which is Thor Ragnarok. So that kind of goes into that. And if you want to do World War Hulk.
I was just counting, like, how long did it take from Planet Hulk to She-Hulk? Like, yeah. Like, how many years of that?
Because,
like, at least 5 or 6.
Yes, because Planet Hulk, which is Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. The very next thing is Infinity War.
Yep.
Directly after it. So then you have 5 years because of the blip.
Yep.
And then No Way Home is a placeholder. So that takes place directly after. And then you have She-Hulk.
Yeah, that's like 5, maybe 6.
So, yeah. And it's like, that doesn't explain it. And that's just so frustrating because Hulk is such a complex and complicated character. And then if you, like, people are like, oh, maybe a World War Hulk. But Planet Hulk sets up World War Hulk. So, like, I know there's no way they're doing Immortal Hulk. And so it's kind of just, like, frustrating from that perspective.
Yep. I mean, it is what it is. Like, And that's why I say, hey, the mouse should take it all over. At least somebody have like all of the rights, so that way we can get what's rightfully deserved.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw something where it's like, oh, it's kind of hard to tell a dark story, but if you introduce, you're going to have Deadpool in it, which is going to be rated R, then Infinity War and Endgame were about grief and just like loss. And then also No Way Home, what is that if not a dark story? And then Moon Knight, he's traumatized. What are we talking about?
I'm like, sir, y'all get it together. Marvel.
So yeah, I just want to see Hulk in the leading role, and I want him to feel scary again.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. Agreed. So transitioning out, we're going to get into our sponsor for the day.
For today's sponsor, we have the Academy of Jackie McGee. In this academy, you're able to become a true journalist, and you'll be able to inspire others with your incredible storytelling and your incredible reporting skills. If you want to come and train up those skills, you are able to come to this academy, and we are not responsible for any Hulk-related incidents or any gun-related incidents that you may experience along the way. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so again, the Immortal Hulk is one of my favorite comics of all time. This is me being a Spider-Man fan, and there have been some incredible Spider-Man storylines. So in this, I just really wanted to initially give credit to all the creators associated with this, give them their roses. But Meech said, he answered the question, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, yes, you can't give credit to this one person. I went, what happened? And he explained to me, and he helped me, and he'll explain to you as well. So let's get it off your chest.
Joe Bennett, the artist of Immortal Hulk. Firstly, let me just start off by saying I'm 100% separating the art from the artiste, because I love the art from Immortal Hulk. I just cannot gel and vibe with the person that did it, because Joe Bennett, you out here, you did the absolute heinous activity, especially at the worst timing right about now. Because firstly, let's start at the very beginning. In issue 43 of Immortal Hulk, there was a specific panel that depicted very anti-Semitic imagery. Very, very suspect, my guy. And of course, subsequent publications ended up having that removed, which lets you know that you didn't fumble the bag, sir. Mm-hmm. And then next, you did a political cartoon in 2018. And you made some pretty heinous, very racial comments on that in that political cartoon. Oh my goodness, bruh, you out here fumbled the bag. And you wanna know how bad he fumbled, right? Firstly, Al Ewing cut all ties with the man. So like, again, issue like 43, he just had to work with him for like 7 more issues, and then he said, I'm done with you. Like, I will never work with Joe Bennett again. So much so that in 2021, Marvel canceled this man. Like, he no longer has any, like, projects with Marvel. He is just done for. Sir, how could you? And again, in a time where, again, at the recording of this episode, and much later than when this story happened, you got Yeezy out here fumbling back hard. So, I don't know, what is up with people and all this anti-Semitic nonsense that's happening nowadays? What's happening here? Like, I mean, like, somebody canceled... Actually, we did cancel this man. Sir, that's why I needed to stop you. That's why I needed to help you out, help you understand that this man deserves no flowers. He deserves only thorns.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for that, because I did not know, especially in today's times where ooh-wee, that would have been the end of this podcast through just from pure ignorance of it. But someone who I believe we can give a rose to.
Oh, yes, we can.
Al Ewing, thank you for this storyline. Thank you for making the Hulk the Hulk. It's the feeling that I got reading this, where it felt so different than other comic book storylines. Then every time I see the Hulk, I just kind of like, I literally read this before She-Hulk came out. And I remember texting you, I was like, how can I possibly watch She-Hulk after this? And you're like, deal with it.
Yep.
And it was just like, wow. It definitely changed my perspective on Hulk. And what I so appreciate is that just with all the characters he brought back, all the storylines that he told, the way he gave each character life, the different folks, he respected the Hulk. And that came through in the writing. And thank you for that, if you have anything else to say.
Yes, again, just thank you for Immortal Hulk and all the greatness that came through with it. And I am super excited for you, Al Ewing, because you're currently writing Venom right now. And as I said earlier and throughout the entire podcast, Venom one of my favorite characters of all time. And I gotta say, you did not disappoint. Like, your story of Venom is out here. And I'm looking forward to see like where else that leads. So keep on securing your bag, Al Ewing. Come get your rose, and you deserve all of them.
Yes, and thanks for having integrity as well. For next, we're going to get into the recommendations. So I have a list of just big ones. Since you have more specific ones, I'll just read them off, mine off first. So with the recommendations, it's all Hulk-related content. So it's some of it's going to be MCU-related projects. Some of it is going to be comic book storylines. And some will just be in between, like, animated movies. So Planet Hulk, which I would say is the most popular Hulk storyline of all time. You can either watch the animated movie for it or read the comic through, which gives a lot more context to just a lot of different things that kind of happen throughout. Then World War Hulk, which is another popular one to get into. That's also a comic book storyline. I don't know if they have an animated movie for it or not. Okay, so from that, so you can read the comic book storyline for that. Then Hulk 2003. Just to kind of give a brief recap, that you have to give it some grace because the animation at the time is garbage, but that's this Hulk content. Then you have 2008's The Incredible Hulk, which is slightly canon now after, 14 years? So you can get a check. So if you want to find out who Emil Blonsky is, then that's just like good context. And if you want to see the Hulk actually be a destructive Hulk, then that's one you can check out. Wolverine versus Hulk, which is absolutely wild. It's an animated movie and they go crazy. You can also probably, if you want to see that, read Old Man Logan and just kind of with the Maestro and different aspects of that. Then we have She-Hulk, that is a Disney Plus project. Avengers Assemble, which is the first ever Disney Avengers team-up movie. Avengers Age of Ultron, and then Thor Ragnarok, if you kind of want to see slight of the Hulk storyline play out.
All right, and from my end, of course, read Immortal Hulk, right? But then there are a couple like one-shot comics that you got to read along with to give you some more context. So like there's The Threshing Place, or Immortal Hulk The Threshing Place, which is more of an origin story and gives you a Samuel Stern's story. You got Defenders, The Best Defense, in which Immortal Hulk teams up with Doctor Strange, Namor, and Silver Surfer, and also gives you the confirmation that Mephisto can't really do anything against Immortal Hulk. So that lets you know he wildin'. Next, as I said, is Immortal She-Hulk, where I mentioned like just Jen's story and her perspective throughout the entire Immortal Hulk storyline. Of course, Gamma Flight, which is a great miniseries that focuses on the Gamma Flight team after the Immortal Hulk story ends. And then finally, which is probably my favorite of the one-shots, which is Immortal Hulk Great Power, which is actually a crossover with Amazing Spider-Man. And it's where Spider-Man turns into a Hulk.
Wow.
And you basically get to see the context of that. And also another indication that Mephisto can't do anything to Immortal Hulk because spoiler alert, he's unaffected by the One More Day deal.
Whew. Didn't he also get venomized?
Yes. In Absolute Carnage, the events, Hulk does bond with the Venom symbiote. So if you wanna read more about that, you can read that in Absolute Carnage, as well as the prequel one shot, Absolute Carnage Immortal Hulk. And he also makes an appearance in The King in Black, Immortal Hulk, where it's no dialogue and it's just wholesomeness while also throwing hands.
Boxing.
Because it's actually a Christmas issue.
Mm.
So there you go.
I like that. So yeah, this is all Hulk related content. Since we're wrapping up, getting into our plugs, again, just like, subscribe, word of mouth. notifications and the five stars, if you will. So let's get into our plugs.
All right. So we got our Instagram at BlurredCity22 alongside the Twitter of the same name, BlurredCity22. Please, again, come follow us and hit that bell for more posts and notifications. And then we also have our YouTube, which is the Blurred City Pod, alongside our Patreon of the same name, where we upload specific content exclusive to that show, as well as early releases of our episodes on that platform. If as long as you like, just give generous donation, it can be as little as a dollar. So please come and give us a subscribe on there, hit that like and that bell and that notification. We also have our Discord, which is linked in our Instagram page. Again, BlurredCity22. It's a thriving community of just Blurred Nation citizens. And that's where you can submit ideas for future episodes, as well as segments for our specific episodes. And then finally, we have our email, blurredcity22@gmail.com, where once again, you can provide suggestions as well as different segments such as Geek Out Break Out and our random fan theories of the week. So yeah, can you get into yours?
Yeah, so we're also planning on having our first Q&A session towards the middle of our season two. So that'll be end of December type. So you can have a special episode as you travel. And just for my individual author pages, you can check me out my Instagram at Mitri_dash. Mitri_DASH, and my Twitter at TheMad-16. For just next week, we're going to be doing our Black Panther Wakanda Forever recap. That might be a mega episode. I don't know yet, but there's going to be a lot to talk about. We will be seeing this when you hear it the day after, first day. We already have our tickets. We bought them like a month ago. So bring your Kleenex and tissues, people, because that's going to be a movie, that movie of the year candidate in a year of great movies. Also, we're going to wrap up November. We're going to be doing our Blurred Thanksgiving. We're planning to have like a special guest as well for the next two episodes. So just tune in. And as usual, we're going to leave you with some words of encouragement.
All right. So from my words of encouragement is that your past, again, does not define you. If you have like trauma or any like different types of, you know, different types of events that happened to you in the past, it's okay to like seek help and to receive healing from it. If that means reaching out to somebody who wronged you or reaching out to somebody you've wronged, then go ahead and do it, because at the end of the day, like, healing's all that matters, and being able to move on to the next day and take it one day at a time, that's where true living comes in.
Yeah. For my words of encouragement, just on a dour note, with Wakanda Forever coming out, we're going to be reminded of we did lose Chadwick Boseman. Also, just the week of this recording, the previous week, we lost Takeoff. So just like a really sad event. So something that just I wanted to share that's been on my mind is that a lot of things that we beef about, get mad about, or like don't talk to people about for months or years is a lot of BS. We don't, like, it's not really that important in the big grand scope of it. So just with that, you don't get 100 chances to make things right. If like you have the opportunity to reach out, like Meech said, make things right with people, or just like get in contact, not cut them off. But at the same time, if, you know, there's negativity in your life and you need to cut them off or like hold to their standards, do that as well. Just like in certain situations where that requires it. But you got to make the most of this chance that you're given, as long as that thing in your chest is beating. So yeah, go from there, take care of yourself, smile again. So it's goodbye for now, but you never know when it'll be goodbye forever. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See you later.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.